With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. The wolf population in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan has reached the limit of what the habitat can support, according to the Michigan DNR. It's the major reason why the agency continues to support removing wolves from the federal endangered species list. Ben Meyer explains the new wolf population numbers for WXPR.
The Michigan DNR found that a minimum of 762 wolves live in the Upper Peninsula, according to its overwinter survey, which counts wolf tracks. That's the highest population estimate since 2012. However, it's within a range that has been consistent for the last 14 years, says DNR large carnivore specialist Brian Roll. Roll says the winter tally is almost certainly an undercount of the true wolf population.
We're counting wolves when they're at their lowest point in their population cycle. And so come spring, with pups born and those kinds of things, that population is going to jump up. And it's going to reach its high point around July, August. And then you're going to start to lose animals. And then back to midwinter when you're at your lowest point again.
Wolves are currently on the federal endangered species list. That means states like Michigan have no power to manage their numbers. Furthermore, wolves can be killed only if they're a direct and immediate threat to human life. Because of the stable population numbers, though, the Michigan DNR has long advocated for wolves to be removed from the endangered species list.
You know, it suggests we're reaching that kind of that biological carrying capacity, and we're just seeing oscillations around this. So this population is very stable. It's secure. We've held this number, for the last 14 years.
The DNR is unsure whether any wolves exist in the lower peninsula. Wisconsin's latest wolf population survey, completed last year, estimated about 1,000 wolves in the state. Ben Meyer, WXPR News.
If you look closely while driving on Highway 51 just south of Wausau, you can see 500,000 tons of coal piled next to a massive power plant. Two trains arrive each week from Wyoming, from the coal fields there. Each carries about 17,000 tons of coal for burning. Len Rentmeester of Wisconsin Public Service oversees the plant.
The train car comes in, gets flipped upside down, coal goes out, and it's conveyed out onto these piles right here. And then from there, you can see the one dozer on there. He's pushing coal in right now for loading the plant, and it'll come up these series of conveyors to get into the plant.
But in just 7 years, the Weston Power Plant will look starkly different. WPS plans to get out of the coal business, closing part of the plant and converting another part to burning natural gas, another fossil fuel that emits less greenhouse gases. The move comes at the same time as new federal rules that promise to virtually eliminate coal as a power source by the end of the next decade. New polling shows most Americans still favor non-fossil fuel energy sources, but support for certain renewables is not quite as strong these days, and a Wisconsin expert hopes the direct impacts of climate change bolster messaging. Mike Moen reports.
The Pew Research Center is out with a new public opinion report on energy choices. 63% of those surveyed support the U.S. taking steps to become carbon neutral by 2050. But support for expanding wind and solar development has gone down from well past 80% to around 75%. Dr. Kieran Gallagher of the group Clean Wisconsin feels it's important to remind residents that climate change is happening at their doorstep.
We can point to the drought that affected our farmers last summer, and then in stark comparison, the intense rain and flooding events we've been experiencing this spring and summer.
She mentions last summer's smoky air from Canadian wildfires as another example. Advocates say these events might help convince the public to regain confidence in renewables as policymakers try to limit climate disasters. Local opposition has surfaced for various solar and wind projects. Gallagher says it's not surprising, adding that misinformation and polarization are driving changing attitudes. Grid operators warn that as more coal plants and other fossil sources come offline to meet clean energy goals, reliability issues might surface in the short term as energy demand soars. But Gallagher says it doesn't mean wind and solar are failing to keep the lights on.
These last few winters, the energy source that has failed is gas power plants. Solar and wind and some of the recent storms have outperformed more than they expected.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission points out that in a 2022 winter storm that impacted parts of the Midwest, 90% of prolonged outages were linked to fossil sources. The Pew survey also shows Americans aren't quite as eager to purchase an electric vehicle compared with a few years ago. Gallagher echoes predictions from agencies such as the Bureau of Labor Statistics that organic growth still will happen. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
The Ottawa National Forest is reminding people of treaty rights when it comes to camping in the forest. The Ojibwa people have long lived in and around what is now the Ottawa National Forest in the western UP. The United States government bought land from the Ojibwa people in the 1842 treaty. The treaty from 1842 is a legally binding agreement between the United States and several tribes. As part of the treaty, the Ojibwa people retain the right to hunt, fish, and gather on the lands for their future generations. One common use of the treaty rights is camping at Ottawa National Forest campgrounds. Members of the following several tribes in the region can use campgrounds with the fee waived on the Ottawa National Forest. They include members of the Lac Vieux d'Isere Band of Chippewa in Michigan and the Sakagan and Lac du Flambeau tribes in Wisconsin. The Midwest and Great Plains have already seen some extreme weather events this summer. Harvest Public Media's Kate Grumke reports climate scientists say extreme weather is happening more frequently.
Heavy rainfall led to flooding in Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota at the end of June. At the same time, St. Louis broke a heat record. It's difficult to tie specific events to climate change, says Dennis Toddy, director of the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Midwest Climate Hub. But he says the Midwest is seeing heavier rain events.
You can't just automatically go, this was climate change. But because of the overall changes in our climate, there are fingerprints of climate that show up, you know, in most everything that we do.
Scientists say warmer air holds more water, which can lead to more extreme rainfall and flooding like what we saw last month. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Kate Grumke.
For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.